This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll take a look at your grain futures on this Monday morning. They finished a bit higher on Friday, continuing the gains from the WASDE report released on Thursday. Corn for September was up a penny to 355 and a quarter on Friday. December corn was up a penny and a half to 368 and three quarters. March corn was up a penny and three quarters to 381 and a half. Soybeans for September were up one and three quarters to 884 and three quarters. November beans were up three and a quarter to 898 and three quarters. January beans were up three and a quarter as well to 912 and a quarter. Chicago wheat on the September contract remained steady at 485 and three quarters. December wheat was down a quarter at 483 and a half. March wheat was up a quarter to 489 and a half. Soybean meal for September was up 210 Friday to 298.20. October bean meal was up 30 to 297.90. December bean meal was up 20 to 301.50. Finally, soybean oil on Friday for the September contract was down 8 cents to 28.94. October bean oil was up 28 cents to 29.29. December bean oil was up 27 cents to 29.43. So to recap your Friday closing grain futures, corn was up 1 to 2, beans were up 2 to 3, wheat stayed steady, soybean meal was up 20 cents to $2.10, and soybean oil was down 8 cents to up 28 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield on this Monday for last Friday's cash grain report.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trend for the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Friday afternoon. Central Illinois corn prices were up 16 cents for the week, and Central Illinois soybean prices were 45 cents higher for the week. And in northern West Illinois, country grain yields quoted shallow corn bids mostly 1 to 2 cents higher, 319 to 364. Soybean bids were mostly up 4 cents at 822 to 839. In central Illinois, country grain yields quoted shallow corn bids mostly 1 to 2 cents higher, 344 to 369. Soybean bids were up 3 to 4 cents at 831 to 878. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 1 to 2 cents higher, 313 to 379. Soybean bids were up 3 to 4 cents at 819 to 859. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 1 to 4 cents higher at 855 to 884. Basis was mixed at 44 under to 15 under the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $283.90 to $300.90 a ton, up 30 cents a ton, with basis steady at 14 under to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents higher, $3.69 to $3.86, with basis steady at option to 17 over the December. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids mixed at $3.42 to $3.67. with basis unchanged to down 3 at 27 under to 2 under the December. Soybeans ended up 3 to 4 cents at 844 to 853, with basis steady to up 1 at 55 under to 46 under the November. Wheat prices were steady at 444 to 454, with basis steady at 40 under to 30 under the December. East St. Louis barge loading terminus placer producer corn bids 2 to 4 cents higher, 359 to 361. These elevators raised their soybean prices 3 cents, with quotations at 864 to 865. So if we close steady at 485 to 486, and Milo ended today up 2 cents at 349 to 354. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 324 to 359, soybeans at 823 to 859. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 343 to 367. Soybeans at 831 to 883. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 314 to 379. Soybeans at 820 to 859. And wheat for June-July delivery at 461 to 493. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Friday's livestock futures finished mixed on the Board of Trade Friday. October live cattle were down 65 cents to 98.07. December live cattle were down 57 to 104.37. February live cattle were down 10 cents to 111.10. Feeder cattle for September were down 35 to 136.50. October feeders gained 7 to 134.57. November feeders gained 12 to 134.02. Moving on, lean hogs for October gained 330 to 66.47. December lean hogs gained 450 to 68.70. February lean hogs gained 450 to 75.10. So to recap, live cattle were down 10 cents to 65 cents Friday. Feeder cattle were down 35 to up 12 cents Friday. Lean hogs were up 330 to 450 Friday on the Mercantile Exchange. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for last Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 64 cents lower in a range of 44 to 51 with a weighted average carcass price of $45.67. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were very weak, with light to moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $18 to $21, 4 to 5 weight at $19 to $23, 5 to 6 weight at $21 to $25, over 600 pounds at $22 to $29. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for bears and gilts at the country buying points were 1 to 2 lower, with light demand for moderate offerings ranging from $23 to $31. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts have totaled 21,283. In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $100, on a dress basis at $155 to $160. Heifers on a live basis traded at $99 to $102, on a dress basis at $155 to $160. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 256 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 68.21, which was 2.26 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were 2.20.88, which was 91 cents higher. Select carcasses at 198.60, which was steady. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 109,000 compared to 115,000 for last week, and 120,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 476,000, compared to 424,000 last week and 395,000 1 year ago. A recap of the walnut auction for Thursday, September 12th. 240 total receipts. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter cattle prices were sharply lower. Slaughter steers and slaughter heifers sold 10 to 10.50 lower. Slaughter cows traded steady to $3 lower. Slaughter bulls sold $5 lower. Choice steers ranged $96.75 to $103. Choice heifers $96.50 to $102. Breaker cows at $60 to $62.50. Boner cows at $50 to $57. Lean cows $41 to $51. Ones and twos bulls $67 to $75. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And it's 20 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning from WSMI FM 106, part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you, and by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News for a Monday, Democrats are proposing at least a delay in market facilitation payments to farmers hit hard by ongoing trade wars with China and other countries. House Appropriations Chair Nita Lowley is proposing to leave an extension of spending authority for tariff rescue or the market facilitation program payments out of a short-term spending bill to keep the government open. The Commodity Credit Corporation's $30 billion borrowing limit is expected to be hit before the USDA completes the second round of MFP unless Congress acts. American Farm Bureau's R.J. Carney says the AFB is not pleased.
Farm Bureau does have serious concerns with the recent reports, with the draft House a continuing resolution that's circulating.
Especially with farmers facing trade wars, disasters, continued low prices, and labor shortages.
And any attempt to not include the commodity credit corporations anomaly would be detrimental to farmers and ranchers.
And also could affect other payments like CRP, ARC, and PLC. Republicans say they won't accept MFP limits with the trade disputes continuing, but they can't say if the move is a negotiating tactic or simply politics in trying to hurt the president with his base. But AFB's Carney adds this.
This was the initial draft that was sent over to the Senate. So our understanding is there are negotiations underway. And as the chairwoman said, things could still change.
Including if the GOP-controlled Senate insists on a MFP fix in its short-term spending bill. Without a fix, the USDA says the timing of the trade payments could be impacted. Just $2.3 billion of the $14.5 billion has been paid as of early September. And in the latest news from the Chinese trade war, a Chinese state news agency says the country will lift Putinov tariffs imposed on U.S. soybeans and pork. Both China and the U.S. have made conciliatory gestures ahead of the upcoming negotiations that will hopefully lead to an end to the trade war between the two nations. The Chicago Tribune says China will suspend tariff hikes on soybeans, pork, and some other farm goods. The Chinese Commerce Ministry says Beijing also supports domestic companies in purchasing a certain amount of U.S. farm produce, but did not give out any specific details. A release from the National Pork Producers Council says if media reports are accurate, this is a most welcome development. The Chinese have placed Putinov tariffs of 60% on most U.S. pork products, bringing the effective tariff rate for most U.S. pork to 72%. National Pork Producers President David Herring says the U.S. pork exports could single-handedly make a huge dent in the trade imbalance with China. When you consider that China is the largest producer and consumer of pork in the world, the importance of this market to the United States pork producers is clear. Also in the trade war with China, privately run Chinese firms bought at least 10 boatloads of U.S. soybeans late last week. Reuters says that was the most significant Chinese purchase since June. The move comes ahead of high-level talks in October, which both sides hope will end the trade war that's going on for over a year. The purchases totaled more than 600,000 tons and will be shipped out from export terminals in the northwestern U.S. between October and December. Reuters says the purchases are hopefully another indication that trade tensions between the two countries are easing. Talks hit another low point in September, with China suspending all U.S. farm product purchases in response to threats by President Trump to impose more tariffs on Chinese imports. Jack Scoville, vice president of Price Futures Group in Chicago, says that he's impressed that the day they will allow their commercial interests to buy from the United States. We've got this much sold immediately. Clearly, they're trying to show what they can do if we can get back to a normal trade relationship. Also, late last week, the USDA reported China buying 10,878 tons of U.S. pork in the week ending of September 5th. The most in a single week since May. Moving back here to the United States, milk prices have topped levels not seen in years. Last Thursday, Class 3 milk markets closed up limit 75 cents, close to $19.16 per hundredweight. It's been roughly 5 years since producers have seen prices at this level. Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing with Stuart Peterson explains what is behind the market moves.
Yeah, well, good things come to those who wait, right? It's been a long time, and specifically, you know, you're looking at a market right now that's kind of all of a sudden clicking in a lot of cylinders, and the cheese market's been really strong. We think the catalyst behind that securing of inventories as you head into not only football season, but the holiday season. It's not untypical this time of year, and it looks like we have, may have seen some processors just get short bought, and now they're chasing it, and the board's seen short covering. So usually when you see a big run like this, it's a combination of things.
He says traders appeared to be short covering their contracts on Thursday.
When I say short covering, that means if you're sold, let's say you're a trader and you sold futures, and it starts going against you, you will buy your contract back if you don't want the risk. So you're covering your short or sold position, and you're a buyer. That doesn't mean you're necessarily, you know, friendly, but it's another buy order that has to find a seller out there. And I think that was part of today's activity, and just kind of robust trade on all markets. Cattle up sharply, feeder cattle up, hogs up limit, grains posting very solid gains, beans up 29 cents. Just a real strong day in agriculture as some money flow might be heading back to the value commodities.
Again, that was Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing with Stuart Peterson. In other national news, oil prices have remained relatively flat over the past couple of months thanks to competing economic news. The trade war and uncertainty with China continues to pressure oil and fuel prices lower, while unrest in Iran and other spots around the globe push those prices higher. However, one analyst thinks we could see oil price spike just before the new year. And that's not because of China or Iran, but rather of the International Maritime Organization. Martin Frankel of S&P Global Platts recently told CNBC that IMO 2020, which goes into effect in January, will have a big impact.
Which is going to restrict the amount of sulfur in the fuel oil which is used by vessels all around the world to power ships which are going around the world. So the switch from higher sulfur to lower sulfur fuel oil and other forms of diesel is going to drive higher refinery runs and greater demand for crude oil in quarter four as people prepare for that. And we feel that that's going to lead to a little bit of a spike in crude oil prices as we get to the year end.
Any significant change in oil prices makes for an obvious increase in gas and diesel prices. Since December of last year, oil prices per barrel have increased from roughly $42 to a level near $57 today. Moving on now into State of Illinois news, financial literacy will always be a continuing educational matter. Just ask Joel Berman. He serves as manager of financial planning support at Country Financial in Bloomington. And a survey they just conducted shows that respondents want more financial literacy taught at the high school and college levels.
And as we looked at the financial literacy, we also saw that nearly 90% of Americans said this should be a this should be a mandatory part of high school or college education, which I just think is just one more thing to sort of cram into an already packed schedule. I will say that both of my kids took some financial classes in high school, but they also graduated high school with a diploma and a transcript from the Berman School of Family Management. So they both got an education from me and my wife in terms of they know the difference between a traditional and a Roth IRA, about life insurance, about basic risk management, managing debts and credit cards. So I think with a lot of things, and whether you're trying to address this as a parent or whether you're trying to address it looking at yourself in the mirror, if it's going to be, it's up to me that you're really going to have to take some personal responsibility and go out and actively seek that education because it's sometimes more than just reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Every other month, Country conducts surveys of approximately 1,000 U.S. residents. Subjects such as financing, investing, budgeting, debt, and insurance are addressed. Moving on now to local news, we have the latest Greenville Livestock Auction report from you from last Wednesday. There were total sale receipts of 666, 572 in cattle, 94 in sheep and goats. The slaughter steers and heifers traded $5 to $7 lower on High Choice last Wednesday and $6 to $8 lower on the Low Choice and Selects. Holstein steers traded $2 to $5 lower on the high choice and $3 to $4 lower on low choice and selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded $2 to $3 higher on the medium-large 1 to 2s and steady to higher on the unvaccinated, unweaned to short-weaned calves and the medium-short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded $2 lower to $3 higher on the better cows and unevenly steady on slower cows. The slaughter bulls traded unevenly steady. And remember, as always, you can find the full report from Greenville on our website at WSMIRadio.com. In other local news coming up later this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, will be the 2019 Purina Checkerboard Days Customer Appreciation Event at Hamel Co-op. With more information on this year's Customer Appreciation Event, I talk with General Manager of the Hamel Co-op, Amy Rozier.
Our Checkerboard Days, like you said, Purina is celebrating 125-year anniversary, and to be part of that, we are going to celebrate with them. We have some in-store sales those days. We're going to have some discounts on our Laena products. You can buy two bags, get one free. Our Purina mineral tubs are going to have a discount on them. Our Equine Senior and Strategy products are all going to be discounted. Buy so many bags, get one free. And then some in-store products like Leaning Tree gift cards, cookbooks, beekeeping supplies, pet toys, and we have kids' toys and gifts on sale, too. So we're excited about that. We have a few in-store drawings. Our grand prize is an iRobot Roomba, which I think every person could appreciate. They're wonderful things. We're kind of gearing up celebrating Purina's 125th anniversary because next year we actually celebrate our 100-year anniversary here at Hamel Co-op. So we're excited about that as well.
And also you'll have a in-store expert on some of these products that Purina has as well that I see.
Yes, on Friday, our Purina rep, David Williams, is going to be in store here, and we're going to set up appointments if anyone wants to have a one-on-one consultation. This is kind of different from whenever we go out and do our on-farm calls. Some people have busy work schedules, and they can't make on-farm calls, so we kind of do an in-store day once a year so people that have schedules can arrange something that works for them.
And again, we're talking with Amy Rozier with Hamel Co-op, and this Appreciation Days will be going on September 19th, 20th, and 21st, so we're just about a week away from that.
Yep, you can stop by and see us. We're going to have, there's no purchase necessary to enter our drawings. We're going to have some other stuff like in-store gift cards and some other items that our companies that we work with have donated, so we're going to be drawing for a bunch of different things. We're going to have donuts and kind of ice in the morning and ice cream in the afternoon. So stop by, grab a cool treat or a tasty donut, and see what we have to offer.
And again, that was Amy Rozier, General Manager of the Hamel Co-op in Hamel. And if you'd like to attend their Appreciation Days, which will be next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, you can visit the Hamel Co-op at the corner of Old Route 66 and State Route 140 in Hamel. And in other news, this week marks the 75th annual Farm Safety Week throughout the country. It was first started back in 1944 by President Franklin Roosevelt during World War II. And although farming has changed in the past 75 years, some of the occupational hazards have not. To talk with us today is Dave Newcomb with the Illinois Fire Service Institute at the University of Illinois. I'm here with Dave Newcomb, and he's a part of the Ag Rescue Program. He's actually the manager of the Ag Rescue Program for the Illinois Fire Service Institute at the U of I. And Dave, we're coming up here on Farm Safety Week, always a time to be cognizant of safety, especially when harvest season is right around the corner.
Yes, this is the time of year that we're starting to get geared up for harvest. Everybody's starting to get anxious, and if somebody in the neighborhood's already running, they're saying, oh my gosh, I got to get started, and it may not be ready. This has been a very challenging growing season from the planting and everything, so the grain and the crop this year is going to be a real challenge to put in the bin if we're going to store it, or even at the elevator can be a challenge. So I do a lot of talking about the first and foremost is I call it situational awareness. When you're in the process of working around this stuff, pay attention to what's going on around you. if you're the person unloading the semis or the trucks and you're running augers and all that, you're always paying attention to where the PTO shaft is and everything working right, and are the guards on properly so that something doesn't happen. If I've got other people around there, am I paying attention to where they're at so that, and they're hopefully watching me so that we have each other covered. So that plays a big role in just paying attention to what's happening.
And along with other programs that the IFSI does, it brings classes to the volunteer fire departments instead of the volunteer firemen going to Champaign to train. It's a big way that a lot of these volunteer fire departments, which majority of Illinois is comprised of volunteer fire departments, get some that hands-on training that if a tragedy like this would happen, they've got the knowledge and know what to do.
Yeah, the 70% of the firefighters in the state of Illinois and the United States are volunteers. We trained over 60,000. The Institute as a whole last year trained over 60,000 students. The Ag program trained probably in the neighborhood of 1,200 to 1,500. Our training is designed that we go to the fire departments. 80% of our classes are off campus. So we have quite a fleet of trailers, and we call them classroom on wheels. So we bring the tools and the technology and that to the fire department. We have what's called the Cornerstone program, which is a funding grant that if a small local department, any department really, they can request, there's about 40 or 50 classes available. They can request those classes, and as long as they have 15 students in the class, there is no fee to the department. That's how that works, and it's been very successful over the years. In the Ag program, we have two grain bin classes, one at the awareness level, one at the operations level, which is everything outside the bin and everything inside the bin. Two different systems. We do tractor rollovers. We do grain entrapments, anhydrous ammonia emergencies. And this year we're rolling out our new large animal rescue operations class where people have to, it's dealing with like the roadway accidents, carrying livestock and that.
And then when all these things come together, the fire departments have all this knowledge. Let's move into just the different types of all the accidents that could happen. You talked on grain bin safety, tractor rollovers, and with this week being Farm Safety Week, just kind of go over what you were talking about when it came to each sector with the safety.
Okay. Well, tractor rollovers and tractors in traffic are the first two incidents that have, they're the leading causes of accidents in the ag world. Tractor rollovers, working on uneven ground, you know, mowing roadsides, doing different things. Sometimes the tractor gets in the wrong position, it'll roll over. If it's got a cab on it, it's in pretty good shape in that the rollover system's in the cab. If it has a what's called a ROP system, rollover protection, it's like a roll bar, and that's to help protect the operator. But the key issue to that is the seat belt is part of the rollover protection. We've had incidents where people didn't have a seatbelt on, the tractor rolled over, and the rollover system actually pinned them on the ground. So that's an issue. Then traffic accidents, you know, somebody sees that orange triangle on the back of that combine or whatever, they think that's the sign to pass as fast as you can. At least that's my interpretation. And so left-hand turns are a real key issue because we have to cross lanes of traffic. Somebody's passing you. Visibility is a key issue around that, in that with the size of the machinery today, you can't always see what's going on right behind you or even sometimes beside you. So roadway accidents happen that way. We've also had incidents where someone might have been walking around behind a combine. They were unloading into a truck, and they moved the combine, actually ran over someone in that instance. So those are the top two, and then a distant third is grain bin incidents where people are in the bin, get in trouble. And what the biggest issue there is, we want to break the culture of working alone. We want, if you're going out there to do that, take somebody with you so you can, if you get in trouble, there's somebody there to call 911 to get help on the way. The other key issue to that is if I'm going in the bin, I want to do what's called lockout tagout. I need to shut off anything and everything that can make the grain move, and then I want to secure it so nobody can turn it back on accidentally while I'm in the bin or doing whatever I need to do. And then third, put on a harness and a lifeline and work. There are systems out there that you can put in your bin with pulleys so that if you went in the bin, if something happened, you wouldn't go under the surface of the grain.
All right, Dave, and just wrapping up on this, any last final thoughts or anything to take home for farmers in mid-Illinois?
Well, I think the key issue here is yep, we're going to get into a crazy time. Harvest is crazy. We're going to be working long hours. We're going to be challenged by the condition of the grain. But it's important that every few hours, you know, get out of the combine, get out of the tractor, just take a few minutes and take a break, get something to drink, stop for a meal, anything like that to help keep yourself mentally refreshed so that you're more, if you see a problem, you're going to react to it safer and better versus being fatigued.
All right, Dave, thank you so much. That was Dave Newcomb, the Ag Rescue Program Manager of IFSI at the University of Illinois. And that just about wraps it up for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So for this Monday morning, September 16th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.